The Enneagram of Personality podcast with Logan Jones is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Alrighty, today is all about eights. This is the eight episode, so let's get started, shall we? With a bang, with a boom, as eights would want us to. That's their talking style, that's their living style. It's this kind of lust. In the Enneagram tradition, it's less about sex, although it might include that. But in the Enneagram tradition, it's more about a generalized intensity. In the German language, which is where I grew up in Austria, speaking German. So in the German language, it's Lust, like Lebenslust, this generalized lust for life, this intensity, you know, prone to excess, you know, whether drink, food, work, play, partying, volume, and duration. So this let's go, let's get it started energy. What eights truly want is they want justice. They perceive life as having been unfair. They can see that certain people get abused or that their vulnerabilities get taken advantage of. And this really enrages them. What they settle for most of the time, because it seems that so much of this world is not fair, is they'll settle for revenge because they're acutely aware of these injustices all over the place. You know, if you've ever seen a Liam Neeson movie, that's what is sort of portrayed fairly clearly in these, is that I will hunt you down, I will exact revenge because you have hurt me. So in health, it can be a brilliant thing. You know, let's shimmy back to the justice thing, it can be brilliant because I get stuff started and I protect the underdog. But when I'm not at my best, it can be really problematic because all I'm seeking is revenge, which never quite satisfies.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Eights are very often known as the boss or the challenger, whether female or male. Think of this, you know, like a good illustration to think of, even though it's very general and sort of superficial. Most definitely stereotyping here, but it's helpful to think of sometimes because you can get the image, is like a mafia boss, you know, something like that, like, the world is a dangerous place. Eat or be eaten, sort of thing. Don't show your vulnerabilities, ever. It's all about how to make it in this dog-eat-dog world and to remain on top, to remain powerful. Naturally, especially in the United States of America, where I live, eights make great CEOs because they don't let feelings or any kind of vulnerability get in the way of the decisions they have to make, and they plow on, you know, they get the job done. So, as you can imagine that. The reason eights seem to enjoy conflict is pretty basic and simple, and also sad. It really confirms this worldview that they have, but it also tells them that they're right. Might is right, sort of thing. Jesus, in his brilliant style of using parables to speak to people and to engage them in their imagination, has this beautiful way of speaking straight to the part that seems automatic, but in fact is a choice. It's just become habit. So he's seeking, and I imagine him speaking to eights with this beautiful parable that I'm about to read from the Gospel according to Matthew. He's speaking to the imagination of eights, wanting them to awaken that what for them has become habit was a choice and is a choice. Them living out this narrative of scarcity in this ruthless, dangerous world that takes advantage of the weak and vulnerable. And so they live one-sided lives, shored up never to show vulnerability, which as far as it goes, works in a lot of scenarios, especially if your job description is that of CEO of some big corporation. However, even there, sooner or later, it's a frustrating place and a cold place to not show any of those warm feelings, to not show any vulnerability. You certainly find it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to ever really truly be empathetic with those around you if you don't show any vulnerability, any place in you that would say to someone who's hurting, "Me too," and to show them your quote-unquote wounds, if you will. So that's what Jesus seems to be speaking of here in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy had done this.' The servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. No, lest in the gathering of the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The brilliant parable here of Jesus is about the mixture of good and evil and the proper way to deal with it. Eights, who I imagine him speaking to here, have to resist yanking out the weeds, regardless of how angry or frustrated they are at the present injustice or the present situation that they are growing up there along with the wheat. See, revenge, remember what they settle for, rips out the evil, seeks to annihilate, right? To expose that which is not right. Immediately. Intensely. But when eights do that, they destroy as much as correct. We can't even think of this. We can't even forcibly root out our own faults, flaws, without also destroying our good qualities. The Enneagram is kind of brilliant this way. It sees our vices and our virtues, when we're stressed and at our best, as two sides of the same coin. And if you try to eliminate that vice, then you eliminate the virtue along with it. The Enneagram is a tool to help remember that grace has been given. And the grace given to the eights is patience. Easy now. When you feel like you must, you gotta take a quote-unquote chill pill, Take a deep breath. Notice you're up and out. And yes, it's so frustrating in the heat of the moment. And it seems so intense. But if you stop and notice, come in and down, following the breath, have some patience. The God of justice is here. You are a member in this world. And eights, we need you. Like in Jesus's parable, we will need you to gather the weeds first at harvest and do what quite possibly only you can do. To put them in the bundles, you know, to be burned. Maybe some emotional types of the Enneagram might not want or might not feel that it's right to burn the weeds. But you're able to, but at God's appointed time, not yours. You must learn to apply patience and thereby recognize you are invited to be here with your power, with your voice, with all that you are. Your intensity is welcomed, but it must learn to dance through applying patience with the true power, the power of God. If you think of Jesus's execution, it's the empty tomb power. It's resurrection power. True power. Notice, Jesus did not go walking around taking care of his enemies, if you know what I mean, settling the score. That's not what we read in the resurrection stories. This true power lets Thomas see his wounds, see the places of vulnerability that still mar even the resurrection body, it seems, and he has breakfast by the seashore and is tender and warm, as we see in his interaction, especially with Simon Peter, the rock, the powerful one. So this is what Jesus is inviting with the parable. And I see it as use the Enneagram as a tool to remember grace. Remember what you love the most. Have the courage to be with the part in you that is wounded and vulnerable. And to let that be a part of how you do the now moment. Instead of trying to be this completely armored tank, learn to dance. Even if it is a powerful tango, but learn to dance. And all my beautiful eight sisters and brothers out there, you won't be able to do that without applying patience. Okay, so what might eights do, right? What can we do? Well, thanks to Clarence Thompson in this brilliant book, Parables and the Enneagram, each chapter of each type ends with what should an eight do, or what should fill in the blank, whatever the type is, do. And in this case, thank you, because this is pretty cool. What should an eight do? Forgiveness is central. Forgiveness is central to all the Gospels. Luke concludes his gospel with this, Luke chapter 24, 46, 47. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So, repentance for one's own shortcomings, one's own weaknesses, one's own sins, and forgiveness of others' sins is a summary of the whole gospel message. A good practice for an Enneatype 8 would be to read the Gospel of Luke in its entirety, noting how often forgiveness is mentioned. And, last but not least, 8s could profit from carefully studying nature. Nature is described as, quote, red in tooth and claw. But that's a selective reading. Notice how many life forms depend on each other take care of one another. As you interact with nature and study nature, spend time with animals. Notice the little ones. Notice whom can you let take care of you? For you are not alone. All right, my friends, having concluded 8, we're moving on to 9. And thank you so much for listening in on this episode. To all my beloved 8s out there, I hope it was short and to the point. Hope we got it done. And may you live simply, love generously, speak truthfully, serve faithfully, and leave everything else to God. Go in peace.
The Enneagram of Personality is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you just listened to, would you take a second to leave us a review in your favorite podcast app? It really does help new listeners find us. You can find more about Logan Jones by visiting his site, loganjonescoaching.com. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders. A special thank you to our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey. For more faith-affirming podcasts, just visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
We hope to better equip you to be salt and light for your community. We hope that we can help you to go out and be a reflection of Jesus Christ to those around you, to your friends and your family, and especially to those that do not know Christ.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.